This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another impromptu Chris Ello Matt's Gravy podcast. I'm back from Iowa and Chicago. Now, Chris, you've been holding down the fort. How's it been? I've been very curious to ask you how everything went with Adam being in studio, and then he had Frank. How was it?
I don't know. Were you gone? Didn't notice it.
You didn't notice it, huh?
No. Adam did great. Frank did his thing. Look, we all like to believe that we're... You know, the show can't go on without us.
Yes.
And let's be honest, the show can't go on as it is without us.
Correct.
But it can go on.
It can.
You know, yeah. We kind of made it through a couple of days. You know, we're long. I think Monday, Tony and I were in, and, you know, with Frank, but, you know, we had no guests and we had no segments other than, I think, Chris versus the Fan and
no
the Big
guess.
Five. Yeah. So Tony and I were reaching there for a while, but fortunately, with about an hour to go in the show, I discovered that the following day was the anniversary of his dad's 3,000th hit. So that brought us home, like we were searching. But it was fine. We missed you, of course, but I don't know.
Someone sent me a video.
Move on
to a point where you said, I wish Scraby was here. Maybe you said, I'm so glad he's not here. It was about Mike Trout being out for the year.
I was glad you weren't here, because as soon as that word came down that Trout was out for the year, you would have exploded.
See, I didn't,
like no other.
I didn't even comment on it on social media, because I don't want to be known as the guy who is going to shame people for injuries, Chris.
Yeah, but you are that person. So.
It's unfortunate for Mike Trout, but I hate when people say that you're the greatest of something, but you can't play.
Bottom line is Mike Trout is no longer the greatest baseball player. He might have been 5 years ago, but his injury problems have now, you know, taken the forefront. And so I think unless something changes 10 years from now and people say Mike Trout, they're gonna think of a couple things. One, he was, you know, great player when he was healthy, but he couldn't stay healthy. And the other thing they're going to remember is he never won a playoff game. I mean,
yeah.
He's not won a single playoff game. That's harder to do, of course, in Major League Baseball than most other sports. It's not like saying the NFL, you haven't won a playoff game. I mean, he was only in one playoff. But the one he was in, you know, they were the top seed that year.
And
the Royals,
all three games.
The Royals swept them. And then the Royals, I think, that was the year they went on to win it. But, yeah, Trout, through no fault of his own, or, you know, however you choose to look at it, has gone from being, you know, one of the great players of his generation to being a disappointment. So, yeah, I don't think you have to worry about him being called the greatest anymore.
Well, that's why I don't say anything, because I already know that he's really disappointed. Why do I need to pile on Mike Trout?
I mean,
not that he's ever going to see my comment, but still.
I mean, can't imagine that he's overly ecstatic about it. Now, his general manager said he's going to come back next year and hit 70 home runs.
Why set him up for failure?
Yeah, I don't know that I need my general manager saying I'm going to do something that only two other people in the history of the sport have done. But
good point. Didn't
that was something his general manager decided to pressure him with.
So I'm going to switch gears on Mike Trout, because we got limited time here for this impromptu podcast. Did you see what's going around with Tony, or someone calling out Tony Gwynn for being in the Hall of Fame? Have you seen all of this on social media?
Even if I saw it, I would pay no attention to
it. Okay, so Tony Gwynn Jr.
ridiculous.
Tony Gwynn Jr. actually replied to this person.
He did,
and he did it really well. So let me grab it real quick, now that we're talking about it.
Is it just one person who says Tony shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, it's just one
person.
And
what is there.
Here it is.
Who is it? Some guy who invented the BAPIP statistic
or the F war?
I'm not even going to say stupid analytic.
I'm not even going to give this account credit. I did it on Twitter too. Didn't give this account credit, but it's like something about baseball history is what the account says it is.
Okay.
Here's what they said. I probably shouldn't wade into this, but I think that Tony Gwynn holds a weird place in baseball history. It's probably the most overrated player that just about everyone agrees belongs in the Hall of Fame, which is pretty asinine comment, because if everybody agrees he should be in the Hall of Fame, then maybe you're the one with the wrong opinion. But here's what Tony Gwynn Jr. replied with.
That was all the person said?
Yes.
He didn't back it up with anything?
Nothing. Nothing.
Just he's the most overrated person that everyone thinks should be in the Hall of Fame.
Correct. Correct.
Never mind the 8 batting titles or the 6 or 7 gold gloves.
Correct.
Basically, two things that tell you that he was the best hitter of his generation and one of the best fielders of his generation. There's only a couple of more things he could be the best at, and unfortunately he wasn't a pitcher. So here's what Tony wrote.
Yeah. He said, so you woke up and decided this was the way you wanted to start the day? By trying to knock my pops? The discourse that was being had about my pops and Judge and whoever else must have really gotten under your skin that bad, huh? Hey, I guess everybody's entitled to their opinion. You're in the real small minority, though. Carry on.
Carry on.
So he says that, but this whole thing, because everybody's saying now Aaron Judge is the best hitter in baseball history, and I will tell you this, Chris, all of the Padres fans took care of this particular tweeter, because it was one of the stupidest things, to the point where this person deleted their tweet. But it's still being circulated.
Well, you can't pick on San Diego's favorite son like that. You know, I think it's interesting that Aaron Judge is the flavor of the moment, and I think that he is a delicious flavor. All right, I mean, the guy's got over 100 RBIs. You know, he's bombing home runs. He's got a chance to win the Triple Crown. But if you look around, so does Marcell Ozuna in the National League. So does Shohei Ohtani in the National League. There's a few guys that could win the Triple Crown, especially in the National League this year, because nobody has a very high batting average. I think 306 was the lead the last time I looked, and Ohtani and Ozuna are both right there, and they're obviously both in the power categories. But Aaron Judge has had, you know, 3 or 4 really good seasons. That doesn't start comparing him even remotely with the likes of Ted Williams or Joe DiMaggio or Hank Aaron or Willie Mays. It's really interesting, you know, just for example, Hank Aaron or Willie Mays both made the All-Star team 24 times, not 14, not 4. You know, they won their MVPs. They hold, you know, an incredibly high esteem in the history of the game with their legendary records. And because Aaron Judge has done it for 4 or 5 years, this isn't even remotely a comparison. I don't. What am I missing? Any of the arguments here?
No, you're not. You're not. This is just. This is just this era of baseball fans saying that their era is better than any other.
Yeah, I get that. Well, it's in some ways, I guess, the athletes, you might consider them to be better. They hit 100 mile per hour fastballs, but I've felt that if you took somebody like a Willie Mays and you put him in an era where people were throwing 100 miles an hour, he'd figure it out.
Yeah.
And I bet you Hank Aaron would figure out, and I bet you even Babe Ruth would figure out, and Joe DiMaggio and Mickey. I mean, you can name thousands of guys.
They have the talent.
And number one. Number two, batters, I'm going to just point this out as a way of comparison. Batters in this day and age, compared to when Willie Mays and Hank Aaron played, and before that, have it much more comfortable in the batter's box than those guys did. And when I say much more comfortable, I'm talking about A, they have iron gear on their arms and heads and shoulder blades and everywhere else to protect them.
They do have armor everywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they also play in an era where Bob Gibson didn't stick it in your ear every three pitches and put you down on the dirt. Batters are allowed to get a whole lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
They know the pitch is going to be, you know, in the zone, and if one isn't, there's hell to pay all over the league. Back in the day, Bob Gibson probably threw it five hitters a game. Don Drysdale was meaner than Bob Gibson.
Is that just intimidation?
It was part of their game. They owned the plate. It's a different deal. They fought for control of the plate.
See, I like
that. If Willie Mays wanted to lean out over the outside corner, Bob Gibson said, you're just not, I'm not going to let you lean out. You lean out one time and you're getting chin music. So, look, the only way you can compare greatness of players is by what they did in their era against the other greats of that generation.
I agree.
And to say that Aaron Judge is the best hitter of all time is kind of like saying that Christian McCaffrey is the greatest running back of all time.
Well,
in this particular moment in time, Christian McCaffrey is damn good. But
he might be best ever.
He's not.
I know.
Payton, Emmitt Smith, O.J., Jim Brown.
O.J. Simpson is
What I'm saying, these guys did it in their era, and it's the same thing. You could say, well, Christian McCaffrey does it against better athletes. These guys are bigger, stronger, faster. Yes, but Christian McCaffrey also doesn't have to worry about being clotheslined when he gets free into the secondary.
That's true.
And when he runs a route, he doesn't have to worry about George Atkinson of the Raiders coming over and taking his head off just because he's doing an out pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
They're protected a lot more now. Tom Brady's was protected way more than Joe Namath was protected, or Johnny Unitas.
Steve Young had to leave the league because of concussions.
Right. So my point is their eras are different. Comparing your era.
Eras are all relative, I think. The best of the best of the best played in 1950. The best of the best of the best played in 2020. Yeah,
they did. Basketball players do the same thing. I don't look at a guy like Jason Tatum and think he could even be on the same floor as a guy like Michael Jordan. But there's a lot of people who think Jason Tatum is a better offensive weapon than a guy like Jordan ever was, and he's practically unstoppable. But he's also unstoppable in a league that doesn't allow defenders to touch him. Michael Jordan played in a league where the Pistons picked him up and slammed him on the floor every time he drove to the basket. It's just different.
All right, speaking of Chicago, since we're in the impromptu podcast, we're moving subjects. Chicago is where I was for Wrigley on Monday and all that. It was really fun. But I love listening to sports talk radio wherever I go. So I listen to our sister station, 670 The Score. It's a whole different world of sports over there in Chicago because apparently no one cares about the White Sox. Well, no, that's not apparent. That's just a fact. But apparently no one cares about the Cubs, so they've been talking nonstop Bears football. And I will tell you right now, Chris, this station thinks that Caleb Williams is a Hall of Famer already. They're going to be 12-5 this year. They love his leadership skills. And I was listening to interviews with players that were at training camp, and one of them, Kevin Byard, told a story about how Caleb Williams walked back into the locker room one day and said, "Hey, everybody, this place is a mess. Like, let's help out the janitors and stuff and clean up after ourselves." And it just struck me as, like, How can you be a rookie? Like, this doesn't seem like it's going to work, but everybody is trying to tell me it's going to work. And we'll see if it's going to work. But even my dad agreed. Like, this was enough talk about Caleb Williams.
Well, let's talk about Caleb Williams from the other angle. First of all, he's a selfish rookie who holds out for his own contract. He doesn't want to pay taxes. He wants a contract that protects him against being traded, even though he's a rookie. This guy, to me, is looking out for number one. He's looking out for the corporation. He has not ingratiated me from looking at it from afar as a wonderful teammate. Now, it'll be interesting to watch. I didn't get to see Hard Knocks last night, the first one with the Bears, but it'd be interesting to see that. But, you know, it's a little difficult to crown somebody before they even play a game.
12-5, these guys are saying the Bears are going to be this year.
Yeah, in a division with the Lions, who are already the best team. Isn't that the Lions?
Yeah,
they're in the Lions division.
And the Packers are there?
The Packers are another great playoff team. Vikings are probably in the cellar, but the Bears will keep them company. And the one thing that everybody in Chicago is conveniently forgetting, or at least those who think they're going to go 12-5, they have a coach who hasn't proven he can coach his way out of a paper bag yet.
That's my next point. Because Eberflus, he is saying now that Caleb Williams might not play in this first upcoming game because there's so many injuries with the offensive line. I don't see why no one sees how much coddling Caleb Williams is getting and how dangerous, not dangerous, but how bad this is going to be for this team. I don't get it.
I'm not concerned. If I'm the 49ers, which you are, the Bears are one of the last things I'm concerned about coming into the season. This season is going to belong to the Lions. It's going to belong to the up-and-coming Packers. And, you know, you're going to have to deal with the holdovers, like the Eagles and the Cowboys, and, you know, maybe a little bit from the Rams. I don't think there's much to worry about. It's fun. It'll be fun to go to Chicago in December and hear the same sports talk.
It would be because they're very excited. Yeah. Last thing, real quick. 49ers rumored to have a deal in the works with the Steelers to trade Brandon Ayuk. The deal comes from a radio source over there on a sister station. $115 million, 4 years, 85 of that guaranteed for Brandon Ayuk. I don't know any of
what do the 49ers get?
They get draft picks. I also heard Amari Cooper might be a part of that deal, but I would take Amari Cooper in a heartbeat.
I don't understand. I don't understand the concern over losing Brandon Ayuk.
He had almost 1,400 yards last year. He had a bunch of touchdowns. He had 70-something catches. Yeah. My thing is, like, Brandon Ayuk, why? I don't understand. It's not just Brandon Ayuk, and I understand why he wants to get paid. But what happened to honoring a contract and playing for that contract? Now it's all Garrett Crochets of the world. I will play if you give me money.
Well, Brandon
Ayuk, how it works.
Brandon Ayuk may not have done this intentionally, but he's made this whole preseason camp about him. He's taken the focus off of his team. Maybe that's a good thing for the 49ers. They can go about their business. I think a lot bigger story in San Francisco is the fact that McCaffrey's not going
to
play until, quote, opening day. That's a lot more of a concern than Brandon Ayuk. And you talk about 1,400 yards. Fantastic. Divide 17 into 1,400. You get about 70 yards a game. You get a touchdown here and there.
That's a good way of putting it.
There's no question that Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle are 1, 2, and 3 in whatever order you want them to be. And Brandon Ayuk is no better than a fading fourth. And I believe that if they lost him, if they did, they'd get rid of a distraction and they could easily find somebody else to be a fourth. I don't think the 49ers are hurting without Brandon Ayuk, but that's just me.
I'll just see what happens. These are just rumors. Anyway, that was the Chris and Scraby Impromptu Podcast. Thanks to everyone who made it this far in the podcast. Maybe we'll do one again soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.